This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Kia ora no koutou. I recently sat down and had a beautiful kōrero with a friend, ex-student of mine. Her name is Michelle Coxhead. Nō Ngāti Kahungunuia. Michelle is a past kaiako. She's worked in education for a long time. And now she's on a mission to have te reo Māori spoken in every single classroom in Aotearoa. She is the creator and director of the Te Reo Māori Classroom, which you can find online, the tereomaoriclassroom.co.nz, and the creator of the Te Reo Māori Club. She creates Te Reo Māori resources to support teachers and whānau. She's an artist in her own right. She creates these beautiful resources and then supports local businesses here in Aotearoa by having them created here in Aotearoa. And she also goes around the country working with whānau and teachers in different kura, teaching teachers how to teach te reo Māori and opening up their minds to different ways and different methods, and also offering them these different resources that she's created to use as well. I need to get my hands on some of her resources. I was really fortunate when having our kōrero to receive some. She gave me a couple of packs of cards. And what I'd normally do in my class is just have the traditional kind of $2 shop cards, and we would create a game around that. But she has created these beautiful reo Māori cards with pictures and kupu already on them. So it's all already done for us. We sat down, we had a kōrero, anei māua kōrero ko Michelle Coxhead.
Kia ora e hoa.
Kei te pēhea koe.
Kei te tino pai rawa atu, aho. No mai haere mai ki tōku whare.
Tēnā koe. Thank you for having me. It's, we're sitting here in, is this Titirangi?
Yes, aye.
Titirangi, and surrounded by native bush, and your whare looking out, and it's pouring down with rain.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, much needed. No hea koe.
I te taho o tōku māma, ko Tāwhirirangi te maunga, ko Mōhaka te awa, ko Takitimu te waka, ko Ngāti Kahununu te iwi, ko Ngāti Pahuera te hapū, ko Waipapa a iwi te marae.
No reira, Ngāti Kahununu.
Ngāti Kahununu, duits.
Tēnā koe, tēnā koutou ko te whānau. How would you describe the mahi that you do at the moment?
Well, as you know, I had to write it down because on the spot, there's a lot of words to describe it. So basically what I do is I teach kaiako teachers in mainstream English schools, kura auraki, to how to teach, how to implement te reo Māori in their classrooms when they themselves are learners or don't know a lot. Mm. So, yeah. And I also make resources to support that. Mm. I love my mahi, and I was looking for a job. That was the job I was looking for, and I couldn't find it, so I thought, ooh, I might have to employ myself and try to make myself a job.
And that's what you did?
And that's what I did, yeah.
How did you come, to take us back to the beginning, how did you come to this point?
I was born in the... Okay, well, you know, there's a lot. So what I want to start with, I suppose, is the thing about, you know, ahakohe Māori, kauri au I tipu aki au I te ao Māori. So even though I'm Māori, you know, I was brought up without the reo, without much to do with my marae, and but there was always something missing. But my parents, who were both Māori, had just been part of that, you know, that age group, that generation, who had to get out and go and get a real job. And what they were hearing at schools were, well, Māori's not going to get you anywhere. You know, you need to get out there and find a another job. And so it was always a really weird feeling of knowing I was Māori. I felt Māori deep down, but I didn't have any tools. So how a lot of people feel. Mm. And so just through doing various things, like, for example, being a teacher, and, you know, I always say I was a teacher because my parents were teachers. I sort of was brought up in schools, and I just never thought about anything else. I was always going to be a teacher, and it was later on that I realised that actually part of my job was to teach te reo, and I don't know how long I'd been teaching before I actually realised that was part of my job, to be a teacher, a kaiako, in a mainstream school in Aotearoa. That is part of your job. That is, you know,
was
really
there
important.
A pivotal moment that you can pinpoint that where you realised that? You said you'd been teaching for maybe a little bit before you came to that realisation.
Yeah, because I had, you know, this lovely kaiako. She was an itinerant teacher of Māori when I was teaching kawakawa, and she came around and it was fun, and the akonga loved it and loved learning Māori, and we loved it, and I was sort of passing it on because I loved it, and because a huge percentage of my tamariki in my class were Māori. Not that everyone was enjoying it. But it wasn't until 2008 when I went to Whanganui Ātara to a hui. Unfortunately, I can't remember the guy's name, but his name, first name was Rāwiri, and he was a lecturer at the university there. And he had talked about how his eldest son, his matamua, was going to a mainstream school. And he went and had a hui with the teacher and said, look, your responsibility is that you need to be implementing more te reo. I can help you. He's my matamua, and so, you know, it's incredibly important to our whānau that whichever school we choose to go to, that, you know, that's a part of the curriculum. And also the teacher was there. So she was talking about how she knew nothing. She couldn't pronounce the kupu. She didn't know any. She knew nothing, and how he supported her through that. And when I saw that, I thought, okay, she was one of those examples of, look, if I can do this, anyone can do this. Mm. And it was also there that they were talking about, you know, the responsibility. It's sort of like people might say, but te reo is not compulsory. However, if you look at the treaty, Te Tiriti document, it's part of our job. Whether we call it, whether we say that that we have to do it or not, we have to do it because of the treaty. And that was, I was like, oh my gosh, I've been teaching all these years, teaching some Māori because I enjoyed it, but I didn't realise, even though my parents had been teachers, even though, you know, I'd had all of these years at training college, I never knew that it was an expectation.
Mm.
So that was, that was a big driver for me.
Yeah.
Mm.
So you went back from Pōneke, from this hui, yes, with all of this excitement and motivation.
Move out of the way, everybody. Right, where's the principal? Where's the... come right here. And I wouldn't say I got shot down, but I now realise the place that a lot of people get to and the frustration, because I had all of this knowledge. And, you know, they say that you do the best that you can do, but when you've got the knowledge to go to the next step, then you go to the next step. So, you can only do what you can do.
Yeah.
And so it was like, yes, bring it on. I can do this, I can do that. And it just, there was no movement. And I understood, well, you know, I had been through that hui and that experience. So for me, I had kind of moved along. But for maybe other people that I worked with and the management, they didn't get that. However, one of the best things I took out of that was the idea about working in partnership and engaging other people in your hapu or in the area, the iwi, or just tangata Māori, to come and help and be present in the school.
Aye.
And I was really fortunate that we had this great kaumātua who I went and talked to him about it, and he's like, yes, I'd love to. Kaur Petheramaya ear. And he was the first. He taught at Green Bay School. Sorry, he was the principal at Green Bay School, and they were the first kura to have a whanganui on their grounds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he had
in Aotearoa.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Mm. Yeah.
So since then he had retired, and he had time, and he just embraced the whole thing and would come, you know, so anything we needed to do, we'd just put past him. You know, Mato, is this okay? Do we need to change this? How do we say this? We're having a poor footy, you know, where do we stand? Where do they stand? Is it okay for the kids to karanga? All of that sort of thing. So it was so much fun because it took it away from any one person. And he was just, you know, he was the perfect person, like a lot of other kaumātua, you know, they've got the knowledge and they're not kind of black and white. Mm. It's kind of, he understood that a school is a learning environment.
Yeah.
He whare mātauranga. Mm. So, yeah, it was brilliant. So I'm, you know, forever grateful for having him around.
Yeah. Mm. Do you think if you didn't have him around, how things would be different?
Oh.
Having that support system, that support person,
yeah,
that mentor type, yeah, of person when you're wanting to do this is,
yes,
is really important.
In so many ways. I mean,
which is what you're doing now for many people,
yeah,
for many kaiapo.
Yeah,
you're,
yeah,
that person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, he was just, and we had some funny laughs. So when we had planned, I mean, it's sort of my idea that you can talk to teachers, you can explain to teachers, but until they've actually been and had a marae experience, there's a lot of things that don't fall into place, or there's a lot more things that fall into place once you've had a marae experience. Mm. So anyway, we were going to Huani Waititi Marae for a teacher's, a kind of little retreat, and he said to me, oh, so, you know, will you do the karanga? I said, oh. For me, I had always thought in my mind, if he asks me to do something, I'm going to do it, because I will not have that experience of having someone who, I already knew he was going to say it was great, mm, before I even did it. And I did it, and it was, it really was, it was, you know, quite humorous, I'm sure. Everyone was, no one was laughing because they were all happy that it wasn't them having to do the karanga. But, you know, it was all of those sorts of things that, yeah, that he just gave me those experiences,
yeah,
and because I was with him, it didn't matter whether they were, let's say, not perfect. So I don't know, you know, maybe someone else would have come around, but he was, yeah, just, he was great, fantastic, yeah.
And so after some time, you started to implement te reo more into your own teaching,
yeah,
and then into the kura, it spread through the kura you're working in?
Yeah. My reo was pretty pretty basic. So I knew that there were a lot of things that I had to do. I had to improve my reo. I knew that I wasn't going to become fluent overnight, but I knew I had to improve my reo. And also as part of this hui, they were talking about things like engaging the whānau, making your kura reflect, you know, both treaty partners, so lots of kura you go to, not so much now, but back then, we're looking really, there weren't a lot of reflections of Māori art or taonga or whakatauki or reo or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So until then, any of our whānau hui, we'd had one or two kaiako, one or two parents, mm-hmm, and then about, you know, 20 kaiako. They were always really good at turning up. And the enthusiasm was lost because it was always that idea, well, you know, we're not getting many of our whānau to come in and work and, you know, and give us ideas or tell us what they want. It was kind of like, well, there's no, you know, there's no real surprise there, because we have to be showing that whatever they ask for, you know, we need to do something about it. So we had all these plans, and basically, yeah, we got them in, and we got the we had really good kapa haka. Not that kapa haka is everything, but we did have a really good kapa haka. So we had those tamariki engaged in that, and we had the reo going, and we had tamariki learning their pepeha. So we had various things like that going on, and an opportunity came up to do a year, I suppose, some workshops throughout a year with Aku Panuku, specifically designed for teachers just like myself who wanted to, you know, use more te reo in the classroom. And it was using second language techniques, and there was going to be a paper, university paper. So I did what I had to do to do that, and that was like the next moment of like, wow, I can't believe I didn't know this. So, yeah, that was really a worthwhile...
What was it that you were learning? Was it te reo, or the content, or how to teach te reo, or...?
Well, it was both.
Yeah.
But it was basically these, you know, they were like strategies.
Mm.
Yeah, I kind of learnt that it's not about knowing heaps. In fact, you know, I think about school having a really great maths teacher. Oh, sorry, he wasn't a great maths teacher. He was great at maths, but it didn't make him a good maths teacher.
Yeah, and
I'd learnt that from the course, you know, that there were these people that just had things so planned that, okay, these are the words that we want to use. We need a phrase to go with it to ask the question, and then we need a reply. So that's kind of like the formula all the time. And then once, so there will be different techniques to get the words, like, for example, you could memorize them, you could put them in alphabetical order, you could syllabify them, you could play games like memory games with them, you could, you know, so it's a whole lot of techniques to learn or memorize the words, and then putting them into a usable formula or question.
Mm.
And it was great to see. So when I came to your class, we were just doing the same types of things. And it was, you know, nice to have that as an adult learner again, thinking, oh, yeah, you know, it's, again, just putting those sentences, putting those words into a situation.
Yeah.
Like our little restaurant that we went to.
That's right, yeah. If I don't get out, and I'm talking to my own experience, and sit as a student every now and then in the class of someone else, I just get stuck in my ways of doing what I've been doing. And that's so important.
And they're very good.
But you do it for 3 or 4 years, it gets pretty boring. That's so important, that professional development side of things.
Yeah.
We'll get to that soon, which is your mahi. But what were some of the bigger challenges you faced in those earlier days?
Oh, and this is the one I'm going to say, because when I do my professional development, this is the one that everyone tells me, and it's the same for me, and it's the fear. The fear of getting it wrong, the fear of... mispronouncing something, the fear that, the fear.
Mm.
But there was a lot of what I'd call institutional racism within schools.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
pushback from other teachers, from
absolutely from the eye rolls.
Why? Yeah. What's the point?
Oh, exactly. Mm-hmm. And it was really frustrating. And again, I've seen this happen with a lot of other people. You know, you go there, guns blazing, and you want to change this, and you've got all this knowledge, and you know now that you want to, you know, how it's going to work. It might require a bit of time. No, we won't give you any more time to do it. Okay, well, you know, I need a rōpū to work with me. Well, some people don't want to do that. And the schools where it works really well are schools that say, right, you know, no matter what, that's our number one priority.
Mm.
So it's doing everything to make that sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there were a lot of, it was sad actually. And what I didn't tell you is that sort of halfway through that, I had a secondment to the Treaty Resource Centre, and it was to make resources, to help them make resources that they were going to put into schools on the treaty. And so my idea of the treaty was like a lot of people's idea of the treaty, and that is, it's a timeline. This happened, then this happened, then this happened, then this happened. That's what you learn, because that's what I'd learned at school. But it was like, it wasn't like that at all. And it was, so through Pūrākau, through stories about different places, and a lot of it was through the changing of names. You know, I understood a lot more, and it actually made me really sad. So it was a 6-month secondment, and at the end of it, going back to a mainstream school was a little bit of a sad feeling, because I know I would be, you know, I was going to be confronted with all of those things, and no one having the understanding. Well, not no one, but a lot of people not understanding all that. So after that, I think it was the feeling like, okay, maybe this is not my... I'm more helpful somewhere else.
Mm, mm. Did that lead to your current mahi, being self-employed?
Yeah. When I'd finished the course with Ako Panuku, I put together something for our school. So it was kind of like a scaffolded program, looking at the achievement objectives from the curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked really well. And again, like I've seen with a lot of other people, it's like one person doing all this mahi for the whole school.
Mm.
And then some people saying, oh, have we got a program? It's not always everyone as committed as the job requires.
Mm-hmm.
So it worked kind of well. And, you know, again, I have to attribute that to Ako Panuku. So I decided to go to, well, I tried to find a job to do that. And I couldn't find a job to do that. ERO came and they said that, you know, basically all the things that I'd implemented that I got from this great hui down in Wellington, like the whānau. And let me just go back to that for a minute, because one of the things that really stuck out about that is so we had this big whānau hui. There were about 100 parents there. And we said, okay, so what would you like? What would you like to see? What would you like to hear? And we kind of set up a graduate profile of like, what do you want to see by year six? What would you like? How would it be for your tamariki? Yeah. And anyway, someone said, oh, you know, we need some signage around here. You know, the sign looks pretty old and da da da. So we said, okay. Anyway, so in the audience was one of the parents, and he was a designer, an artist. So he came up with this most beautiful signage, and it also reflected our pepeha, which we had made a year before that. And so the mountains and Matariki and Te Wānuia, Te Rewa, and all of the things that were really important were in this. And, you know, and what it proved to me is that when you leave it up to the people to talk about it, and they'll find the answers.
Mm.
And so from that one thing of getting more people involved and saying, okay, you guys, you know, we're here to kind of help you. Can you guys sort of tell us what you would like and that sort of thing? So yeah, so that was pretty awesome. And then so from that, from the signage, from having the whānau coming in, from having our kaumātua, from having our te reo Māori program, the ERO said, you know, well, this is really great. It would be great if that sort of thing could happen in other schools.
Mm.
And I wasn't cheeky enough to say, oh, well, could I get a job? Yeah, so we're doing that.
I'll travel around the country. And
exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it wasn't that easy. But I then thought, okay, so that's my long-term goal, and went to Kōhia Teacher Centre and asked for a job there.
Yeah. Were you I suppose, studying te reo along the way?
Oh, I'm the best student out. Was I what? Okay, it's like Te Wānanga o Aotearoa, and then, you know, 1 year on, 1 year off. Yeah. Next year, oh, you know, Te Arereo 1, Te Arereo 2, Te Arereo 3, Te Arereo 4, Polytech, Unitech, Te Awanui Arangi. What else? Where else?
AUT.
AUT, yes, but oh, no, I was going to leave you to the end. It just doesn't matter who the pōako, who the kaiako is. You get so much out of them, whether it's what you already know,
yeah,
or it's new, you know, mātauranga ho. It's just there's so much, the way that they deliver.
Yeah.
Definitely the games or the activities you do, you know, it's just so for me now, I'm not where I want to be with my reo. However, I just, even going and repeating stuff that I kind of know is great for so many other reasons.
Mm.
And it's, you know, being sitting in the learner's seat, that's a big thing for me. I think that's really important. Always being a learner, having that opportunity, yeah, to learn.
And then going and teaching what you've learned to others to help consolidate
those
learnings. Do you find that helps you when you go into these kura around the country?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, sometimes I sort of, people say, oh, that's so great. And I think, oh, yeah, well, it actually wasn't, that wasn't me. That's, I got that from someone else, you know.
And I got it from someone else and they got it from someone
else. Exactly. So, it's definitely, and I think I was saying to you before, you know, when I started, so at that time when I was implementing te reo in my classroom or in the classrooms, because at that time what I was doing is going, you know, classrooms every day, going to a different classroom, doing the same thing. And I, you know, I mentioned that that was a really good way of doing it, that you've got something to learn, and the best way to the best way of learning it is to be a teacher, teaching it. So I would go and I would teach the same thing over and over and over and over again, pretending that I wasn't teaching it over again. Mm. And that's the same for as a learner as well. Yeah, so learning it, teaching it, teaching it over again.
So tell me about the Te Reo Māori classroom.
Well, the Te Reo Māori classroom started when I started running my workshops and I needed some resources. So bit by bit I would, you know, make this resource, make that resource, and then people would ask me for a different resource. So my whole whakaaro was about indigenizing learning spaces. Mm-hmm. Some of it was with reo, and actually I'll go back to what I learnt with Ako Panuku. A lot of what we were doing there was learning the kupu, learning the phrases, and then taking away reo Pākehā. So all your signage would end up being te reo Māori.
Have you got an example of that? A game or an activity?
No, just say kuhu mai.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Enter or come in. Mm. So what we would do is we'd learn kuhu mai, and then what you would do is you'd take the English off. So all you've got in your classroom is the other Māori words. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of my whakaaro.
Like learn a phrase, eliminate a phrase.
Yes, exactly. Learn it. What is it in English? Which is L1. Learn it in L2, the second language, then take away L1. Mm-hmm. Now, that's okay when you're learning it in a group, but to actually teach teachers through PDFs how to do that was a bit more difficult. So I was always asked, can you please put the English in? Can you please put the English in? And then I've now come to realise that actually, for me as a learner and for a lot of people I know as a learner, it is beneficial to have the English in there so that you've always got something to to look to as a reference.
I mean, you have these awesome resources. Mm. They, just looking at the cards you gave me before, in my classroom I'll just be using a standard set of cards to play the same game, but you have created these cards with these beautiful little illustrations on them, the Māori kupu, to play a game like Memory or Snap. Or
absolutely. Now, I'm glad you mentioned that because, you know, I need to say that in actual fact, if it was me, I would be supporting the way we did it with you. So the way we did it with you was that we have a pack of cards and they've got, you know, just a regular pack of cards, and then you've got a piece of paper with whatever the words are. So if they're like weather words, two could be paki, three could be kapua. So when you get, you know, whatever game you're playing, like fish, you're just substituting the number on the card for whatever the word is that you've got written on it. So that would be my way of doing it. If I had a classroom, that's the way I would do it. But for a lot of people, it's just so much easier, and they like it more if they just have the pack of cards. Mm-hmm. So while we, even though I'd thought about that, while we were playing that in your class, I was thinking, I really need to do this.
Yeah.
I really need to make those cards. Yeah. And also, as we were talking before, you know, a lot of people just want the picture with a word. But in all my resources, I really try to, like, bleed all the different ways of using them, you know. And also, you know, it's again the reflection of both of the treaty partners. You know, if you go into a classroom, can you tell that classroom is a classroom from Aotearoa? Mm-hmm. So I have signage, I have pūrākau, all the things,
boy art.
Yeah, all of those things, and a lot of things that you could probably get in other places. But I'm like, why wouldn't you add a Māori perspective or some reo or something else? Because we are working in a classroom in Aotearoa.
How is that received when you go into kura around the motu and do these workshops?
Well, usually they come to that of the resources. I now have another sort of like a sideline. It's called the Te Reo Club. And why I started that was because, unfortunately, it was a lot of teachers having to buy those resources out of their own pocket. And I'm like, you know, it's your schools, it's the school that should be providing for those, like they buy all the other resources. So what I did is I turned it into a membership site as well. So you can go into Te Reo Māori Classroom and just buy this or that or the other, or you can go in Te Reo Māori Club that's got all of those same resources that your school can sign up for, and your whole, you know, everyone in the whole school can use them. And it gives them more of an opportunity to think, oh, they can look through them, you know, rather than thinking, oh, I hope this is the right one. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't know any te reo, but I would like to use a whakatauki.
Mm-hmm.
There's whakatauki.
Mm.
Or, you know, there's different options so that you actually don't have to know the reo. You can have your akumanga looking like it's from Aotearoa without actually having to know a lot of it, or you can learn at the same time.
Yeah. Do you have the ongoing relationships with some of these kura?
I do.
Yeah.
I've got this great kura in called Winchester School in Palmerston North.
Uh-huh.
And I've been going there for teacher-only days for the last couple of years. And then the other workshops that I do around the motu are usually one or two people, or sometimes more actually, but not the whole school. They just come and they just... When I first started, I had all of these, you know, scaffolded resources and all these kind of roumi, hohonu, kind of deep layers of all these resources. And then what I've come to find is that most people want to build their confidence in speaking te reo, tell me where to start as a non-speaker of te reo, tell me how to implement it through my day, tell me how to put it into the maths, show me how to, you know, do this or do that. It's not, those are the most of the people I work with.
Mm.
You know, they just want to feel good and feel that what they're doing is okay, and then growing and adding more to it.
Mm. Last part I then maybe is, what's ahead for you?
Beep. Well, I love what I do. I really love what I do, and I like creating, and I like a challenge. And what I've noticed lately is that there are more whānau who are joining up to Te Reo Club and requesting different resources and things. For me, it's just really haere tonu.
Hi.
And
I think there's a real need for it, because these kind of taonga, these kind of rauemi, there's not enough.
Mm.
And going back to that card game, I'm just, you know, like a lot of other kaiako making do with what we've got, taking a game that already exists, painting over it, you know. But there's to have a one-stop shop where we can go, which is the Te Reo Māori Classroom, is one place to buy these rauemi that are already there, already made, already prepared.
Mm.
There's definitely a need for it. We need more. So, Ehoi, I hope you do continue creating, and I hope you do continue, you know, producing these beautiful rauemi, because they're not only, I mean, they've got a real, these are made from, handmade, you know? Each one is individually thought about and crafted before it's, it's not a mass production thing.
No.
Which makes it even more special.
Yeah, well, and actually I'm glad you said that, because my sort of whakaro about all that is anything I do, I want to do it beautifully.
Mm.
So I want Māori to be reflected beautifully in the classroom,
because
there are resources that you can get that might not be beautiful. They're good resources, but they might not be beautiful. So my whole thing is like, I really want to lift that. Like, well, we can do that too, you know.
Mm.
There's so many choices for rauemi Pākehā, and then aren't a lot for this. But actually, to answer your question, that is, I was thinking about that before you came, actually. And I sort of want to work with other people. And I think I told you this when I was in your class. I think I'm really ready to work with other people who've got other ideas and I haven't kind of put it out there yet because I don't really know how that would look or what, you know, but that is why...
We're doing it right now.
Yeah.
So if people want to get in touch with the Te Reo Māori Classroom or the Māori Club, what was the...
Te Reo Club.
Te Reo Club.
Yeah.
How do they go about doing that?
So they can do the Te Reo Māori Classroom at gmail.com.
And have you got a place where we can see your what resources you do have that we might
yes.
be able to...
Yes, so the Te Reo, www.thetereomaoriclassroom.co.nz.
Yeah.
And they're all there. And as I say, you know, that they're all there. Everything that's available there is available as part of the membership, which is works out to be a whole lot less
putia,
if you do it that way. Yeah. So for schools, it's brilliant.
Yeah. Mm. Next semester, I'm going to have no more $2 shop cards in my classroom.
Yeah.
We're going to have these beautiful cards.
Exactly. Well, you could make your own like this.
No, and you've already done it for
exactly.
me. Yeah. And they're beautiful. E mihi ana ki a koe, e te wahine whakairo, tēnā koe.
Oh, kia ora. Kia ora ki a koe. Kia ora ki a koutou katoa e whakarongo ana ki a māua. And also I wanted to say a big mihi to Tarina because I really enjoyed listening to her podcast and I'd written something down here actually that really I'd like to echo and that is that, you know, that small bit of reo is a huge contribution. Mm. And when I heard her say that, it made me feel better about what I was doing rather than thinking about wanting to do it all. Mm. I was thinking, yay, she said that. So, you know, yeah. I'd like to tautoko that.
Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
it. Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.